Let's dive into this. Anyone got a Bible? Somebody? If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you, right under the seat in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, we have Bibles that we want to give away to you. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I love that our church does that. We're going to be jumping around, but we're going to be in the book of James mostly, so you can kind of get there. It's kind of near the end of the Bible, and yeah, right about there. It's about that much of your Bible left after James. Not very much at all. So I don't know about you guys, but I've been encouraged the last couple weeks as we've listened to Len last week. Well, I'm not allowed to call Pastor Len, and Pastor Rob the week before, just stirring us into kind of what we are called to as part of God's family. Things like don't grow weary in doing good, right? Continue to do good to all. Or things like last week, we're called to be pillars in the church, people who show others what Jesus is like. That's not just for kind of a select few. We're all called to this kind of life. And those are the kind of calls that we see throughout these letters that we read in the New Testament. Calls for us as the church and as individuals in the church to be like Jesus. And the letters that call us to this as individuals also recognize that we often fall short. And that's actually why we need the whole body to be in on this. A whole group of people working together towards these things, because if it's all leaning on one person, we're bound to fall. As Rob read a couple weeks ago, we're called to carry each other's burdens and to do good to those who belong to the family of believers and gently restore those who are caught in sin. And so we make it our ambition both to grow as individuals in Christ likeness and at the same time to help the whole body to grow together into looking like Jesus. Again, like Galatians says, carry each other's burdens in verse 2. And then in verse 5, each one should carry their own load, right? It's both sides of this. So we're individuals and we're a body growing together. And in that kind of duty towards one another, there are lots of different pieces. And I love Romans 12. You can go read it. This isn't what we're looking at, but it breaks it into two parts. You know, the kind of, hey, do the specific thing that God's given you. We might say gifting or something, right? Serve in the specific way that God has called you to serve. And it's different from the other parts of the body. And then there's the other stuff, which is actually most of the stuff, which is the things we're all called to look like Christ, to show Christ's love and hope to one another. That's across the board. And maybe the most challenging area in this second part, the things kind of we're all called to, is to be consistently formed and shaped by the love and hope of Christ in the things that come out of our mouth, the words that we speak. Sarah and I were talking about this recently. You know, why is it so hard to consistently reflect Jesus in our words? Why is this such a difficult area? Jesus puts it like this in Luke 6. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Kind of blunt, hey? Sometimes Jesus is blunt. It's so hard because it's pretty hard to consistently disguise our words. What's inside eventually comes out of our words. Our words speak what the heart is full of. You know, words and language are so tied up in who we are as human beings. We're such linguistic creatures. And some of us here don't like grammar, but we all use it, right? We all use words and phrases and sentences and conversations and monologues. They're the air we live and breathe and even think in. It's hard to imagine a world where language in the way that we use it isn't a part of our existence. You think about even just the innovations that exist that enable people with disabilities to communicate in language. Things like sign language, braille, speech-generating devices. We're linguistic creatures, and so we do all we can to make sure we can communicate using language. Words aren't just something we do. They're part of who we are. They're an extension of ourselves. They're our thoughts coming out. And so the mouth speaks, then, what the heart is full of. And that's why it's hard. And in this letter that Jesus' brother James wrote to the churches, he kind of expounds a little bit more on the same kind of thing that Jesus says. And so we're gonna read a little bit about it. Now, the book of James is kind of classic for going around to the same topics again and again. So he'll touch on this and then move to this and then move to this and then back to this and then back to this. And so it's fun. So we're gonna kind of focus on James 3, but then we're gonna move around a little bit in James as well. So James 3, starting in the first verse, let's read this together. James 3, 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Yeah. So as you heard, James starts off by warning that not many of us should become teachers. And here I am. And so what do we do when we're up here then? All I can do this morning is just approach this topic humbly and carefully and just say, I do try to be careful with my words, but there are lots of times when I regret things that I've said. And I know that's the case with all of us. But let's listen to scripture together as we approach this. The next thing that James says is that the tongue is small, but it has a lot of power, like a rudder or like a spark. And not only so, but it can also produce great calamity. I'm sure most of us have experienced that power, the destructiveness of the tongue. Sticks and stones may break my bones. But words can hurt a lot deeper, right? Why? Because we're linguistic creatures. It's such a funny one. I think we all get it. Like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We all get that that's not true, but it's also kind of ironic, right? The person who's saying this is actually using words to defend themselves because they get the power of words. I'm going to say this poem, and that's going to push back at you. Anyway, that's an aside. But we're linguistic creatures. We live in this world, right? So words are powerful. They're destructive. They hurt. And then finally, James writes almost the same thing that Jesus said. Did you notice that? Almost the same thing, but a little bit different. And that's kind of where we're going to launch from this morning. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James says almost the same thing as Jesus, but it's a little bit different. Jesus kind of has this clear dichotomy. Bad things produce bad stuff. Good things produce good stuff. And James nuances a little bit here and says, he agonizes about this inconsistency in ourselves. That we do both. We praise and we curse, but that shouldn't be. That's not the way. It's inconsistent. It betrays a mixed up heart. Our mixed up words betray a mixed up heart, a hypocritical heart. And that's the truth, isn't it? So from here, James shifts to talk about wisdom, which does have lots to do with our words. But as I kind of mentioned earlier, James does talk about words other places in his letter. And so we're going to jump around to some of those different points to see some of the other things that James writes about our words and our tongues, the words we speak. And because this is kind of where this part ends. And it's kind of like, you're right, James. What do I do? So we're going to look at that. But before we do that, I want to kind of think a little about this idea that I've kind of talked about briefly, that our words reflect our hearts, right? And sometimes when we hear that kind of thing, we can just be like, well, I just need to focus internally. I just need a heart change. And then everything else will just flow automatically. And there's truth to that. But I want to read Proverbs 4 just to give us a little bit of a whole, more holistic perspective on it. Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, right? Keep your mouth free of perversity, then it says. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. I love this passage because it says very clearly, first of all, guard your heart. And that, like, whenever I hear that, I think of my upbringing in the church, which was guard your heart. It was like, don't fall for the wrong person. You know, don't get romantically entangled with this person. That's not what Proverbs is saying. It's saying your internal self is where everything flows from. Keep a check on your heart. But then it doesn't just stop there. Like, Solomon's okay giving advice about our words and our focus and our direction because we're integrated, right? And so as we... part of how we guard our hearts or work on our hearts is to watch what's coming out of our mouths, right? So it's not just like, oh, I just need to focus on my heart and then my words will automatically... No, when you hear what's coming out of your mouth, that tells you something about your heart. And as we change what comes out of our mouth, it can influence our heart. And as we change our hearts, it influences our mouth and so on. It's this whole self. So, yeah, let's keep going now. So as we guard our hearts, we also guard our mouths. And as we guard our mouths, we teach our hearts, right? And so now I want to go back to James and look at some of how this heart transformation and speech transformation can happen for us. And so we're going to go to James 1. So again, you're kind of in James a lot. You can flip back. And honestly, the Bible talks so much about words. Like, this needs to be like a series. This can't be like a one talk. But anyway, we're going to do lots of scripture, but we're going to look at mostly James today. The first thing that James says about this topic of speech is to listen more than we talk. Yeah. Verse 19 of chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil, and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James points out the fact that we're quick to speak typically and slow to listen. We operate, but when we operate on our own terms and we just speak whatever comes to our minds, we don't accomplish what God wants. And James specifically points out anger, that our anger, our indignation deafens us to the other voices and sends us way off course from what God wants, right? Human anger doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. We can't be corrected in that course because we're not listening. We're just speaking. We're just angry. We're just speaking and speaking and speaking. And our hearts lead us astray. But if we slow down a little bit, it gives us a chance to listen and have our hearts influenced. And then as well, in addition to anger, James points out a few other things. He talks about moral filth, evil, and pride, right? He says, humbly accept the implanted word. Those things too can hinder us from accepting the words spoken to us, from actually listening, from actually receiving. It's not just anger that can deafen us to other people's voices. It's often arrogance or a lack of care or just wanting to fill the silence because silence is uncomfortable. Sometimes we're just self-absorbed, just want to listen to ourselves. I want to get my ideas because obviously I have the best ideas because I'm me. And I don't really care what the other people are saying. Again, I do this, so full disclosure. But that's just letting our hearts vent without giving our hearts an opportunity to be spoken to. And so James says, slow down. Be quick to listen. And be slow to speak. And be slow to anger. It gives us an opportunity for our hearts to hear and our hearts to change. And this goes deeper even just than our human relationships. James points to an even bigger problem when we're just quick to speak and slow to listen. If we just produce all the time, blah, 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 we actually can deafen ourselves from receiving God's word into our hearts. And that word can't only influence our hearts, but actually save us. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which is able to save you. You know, Jesus himself is called the Word of God. Just like our words are extensions of ourselves, so Jesus is one with the Father, while at the same time being begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, in the words of an old creed. And we need to quiet our own voices in order to receive him. We need to humble ourselves. Say, I'm actually just going to listen and receive for a second. Not just keep producing, not just keep speaking. Like Len shared last week about him in board meetings, right? He just sits there quietly. Sometimes it's intimidating. Like, what does Len actually think right now? But he's giving himself space to receive. And that's what James calls us to in our relationships with other people. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. But also in our relationship with God. Hey, we need to slow down and hear a little bit less of our voice so that we can humbly receive the word that's planted in us, which is able to save us. So that's the first heart change, tongue change that James calls us into. And the second step is connected. Let's keep reading in chapter 1 of James. I'll start from 21 again. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil which is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which, I think I forgot to say this, which is Jesus, the word, but then also Jesus' words to us, right? What he says to us. Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion's worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So if listening, slowing down, listening, receiving is kind of the first step to heart change, tongue change, the second step is putting that, what you've heard from God, into practice, actually doing it. In fact, James would say, if you don't actually put it into practice, you haven't really listened. It's as much help as looking yourself in a mirror and then immediately forgetting what you look like. I feel like I've done that though, probably. But yeah, you know, it's useless. It's not really actually listening at all, James would say. But putting God's word into practice completes the act of listening. Then we have really listened, right? It's like parents, we'd say, when we want our kids to listen, we don't actually just want them to hear. We want them to listen, take it in, and put it into practice, right? That's what we want out of listening. And that's what James says too. This is listening. We put it into practice. And when we put God's word into practice, we become real listeners as we become people of action. Yeah? We become real listeners as we become people of action. And James connects this kind of action, this obedience, to our words as well. You might have heard him saying, hey, false religion just talks uncontrolledly. There's no rain. It's just like blah, 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 say whatever I want, blah, blah, blah. If you do that, James is like, well, you're missing it. The true religion is to actually do something, to take care of people. And James gives a similar kind of contrast later in his letter in chapter 4, verse 13, when he says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then, and listen to this, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Again, this kind of idle talk, I'll just go, I'm going to make, you know, this the talking big, right? I'm going to do all this. It's contrasted with actually just doing the things we've heard. Idle talk, whether it's just uncontrolled talking, whether it's like boasting about, you know, what all the things I'm going to do, is in contrast to doing the good I ought to do, taking care of the widows and the orphans. In The Princess Bride, Wesley says to the treacherous Count Rugen, we are men of action, lies do not become us. And the indication is that it's unfitting for a person of action to speak in certain ways, to speak with deception. And I think James would agree with this idea that when we are doers, it helps to combat certain types of speech. In fact, he seems to put forward right action as kind of an antidote to uncontrolled speech, right? If you let your tongue roll off, if you don't keep a rein on your tongue, your religion's useless. Instead, take care of widows and orphans. If you're talking, blah, 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 I'm going to do this, I'm going to do all this. Well, no, submit that to God and then just do the good that you know to do, right? Listening and putting into practice is contrasted twice in James with what we might call idle talk. Talk that's uncontrolled and just goes wherever it will. We're just talking because we're talking. Things like boasting, right? Oh, this is what I'm going to do, big talking. Gossip, slander, crude joking, the stuff that just comes out of our mouth to fill the space. And James doesn't spell out how they're related, but I think it has to do with a heart change. That as we become listeners who act on what we've received from God, it changes us. Our lives become more submitted to God because we've actually listened and we've actually put it into practice. And as we do that, then what we do becomes more intentional. And that has to mean that our words as well become more intentional because we're submitting them to God like everything else. Our words are no longer idle. They're on purpose. They are actions in response to what we've heard. As we listen, we open ourselves up to receive from God. And as we put what we've received into practice, we replace idle talk with right action, and our speech becomes increasingly submitted to God as well. It's beautiful. See how it's kind of heart change, tongue change. They kind of go side and side. Slow down, listen, let his word affect your heart. And then put it into practice and see how that affects how you talk as well. Okay, now, I think what I'm talking about sometimes can seem kind of rigid and boring. Like I said, we're linguistic creatures. We live in this zone. Some of us less. Some of us like, I like this, Ben. This is nice. I just don't need to. I don't like talking. I will not talk. But for a lot of us, you know, this is difficult. It can feel like we're just stifling. But when our words become more and more intentional extensions of what God has done for us, they're ultimately going to lead to more life and more joy in ourselves and the people around us, right? Like the idle talk might be fun, it might kind of scratch an itch, but when we're actually submitted to God in our words, and again, I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone, we're actually submitted to God in our words, then it brings life to others and to ourselves. Fuller joy, right? Than just scratching the itch. And that leads us maybe to our last reflection on James's words about words in James 2, 12 to 13. We'll look at 4 again as well. Speak and act, James says, as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Again, it's founded on this heart change, the heart of a person who is going to be judged by the law of freedom. That's who James says his readers are and who we are in Jesus. What's the law? The law, James says, is judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. And mercy triumphs over judgment. It's the law that brings freedom because it's founded on mercy. We don't need to work ourselves up and show God, hey, look, I've done it all right. Well, right? Judge me according to what I've done. No, James just says, no. You've been shown mercy. And what all you need to do is extend that mercy, to show that mercy as well. As we receive mercy from God, we must become people who show mercy to others. And James says that that's expressed not only in our actions, but also in our words. Speak and act, he says. And in fact, James specifically addresses our words in this area in chapter 4. So let's read that in verse 11. Brothers and sisters, don't slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I think if we go away with one thing, it could be this today. It's this one specific way that James asks us to be intentional with our words. As one who has received mercy, as those who have received mercy, let us not be merciless in how we speak to or about another human being. Let us withhold judgment as those who have been delivered from judgment, who live in the law of mercy. And instead, let's show mercy. Let's show love with our words. And I've got to go one more place, just because it's not in James, but it's beautiful, and it offers a little bit of a vision as well. So let's go there. This is Paul in Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. As we listen to God's word and allow it to reach our hearts, as we submit ourselves to his word in obedience and become intentional in our words, and as we become merciful in response to God's mercy, our words don't inevitably lead to disaster. We can, as Paul writes, use our words powerfully to the opposite effect, to actually build up. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So as we close, we're going to have a time of response. And I didn't make it any easier, did I? It's still hard. I mean, it's quite something that the Bible just goes out of its way to say. James says, this is really hard. This is a hard one. It's a hard one for myself. Pete's going to play some music in a minute while we have this time of response. But otherwise, we'll be quiet. And in that quiet, I want to invite you to bring your heart and your tongue to Jesus. It's both, right? And allow him to transform you. This is a hard thing, but it's not hopeless. And as we consider the power of our words, it's such a worthwhile one. Our words have power of life and death, right? We can bring life. So as we go into a response time, slow yourself down. Quiet yourself. This is why we have times like this. Let your ears and your hearts receive. And then consider an area where God's calling you into action, an area that might combat kind of the idle talk to just, I want to do this. God's calling me to do this. And then reflect on the mercy that's been shown to you in Jesus Christ. He died for you and rose again to free you from sin and death. He doesn't hold your sins against you. You're forgiven. Consider his mercy and live in his mercy. And if you're here and you've never received from God, you've never received his word of salvation, of healing, of wholeness, of mercy, do that this morning. Just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've been producing a lot, and it doesn't always come from a great place. I want to slow down and receive the word that you speak that's able to save me. Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Change me, God. I'm sorry for the things I've done. I accept your forgiveness in your life in Jesus' name. Just do that this morning. And come up and pray with some of the people that will be up here on the sides. They would love to pray with you and talk with you and share that. And then as your heart is changed while we do this reflection time, let your words be changed as well. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Submit the words you speak to what God has spoken to you. Withhold judgment. Be merciful with your words and let God use your words to build people up. So we'll pray and then we'll go into this time of reflection. We'll sing a song together after. Holy God, we are humbled, all of us, every person in this room today, because each of us knows that our tongues go in the wrong direction. We can all think of times we've been quicker to speak than to listen. Times when we talk idly, not even thinking about what we're saying, and we end up boasting or slandering or gossiping or whatever. Times when we are judgmental with our words towards people we know, towards people we don't know, forgetting that we are products of mercy. So this morning, we just come humble. And I think of another part in James that humility is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a necessary thing for you to lift us up. And so we humble ourselves to you, Jesus. And we ask that you would change our hearts, that you would change our tongues, that you would change what's inside of us, and you would change what comes out of us. Lord, thank you for your mercy, that when we were sinners, you died for us. We humble ourselves and ask that you would heal us and restore us, make us more like you in our lives. And then as you do, our words would become powerful in building up, and we would see this body and the city around us, the community around us, built up in the name of Jesus. Amen.